I'll be reading Ephesians 3:14 through 19. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom is whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glory riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love, may have power together in all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
Amen. Preach the word, Dad.
Good morning. Can you hear me? I have four quart jars here. What do you think's in this jar? My family, stop answering if you know. I mean, come on, give me a break here. What do you think's in here, huh? Grape juice, you say? Okay, hold on. Give that a try and tell me what you think. Cranberry juice. Yeah, I'm going to take that cup back so we don't spill it over. Cranberry juice. What do you think's in this jar?
Orange juice.
What? Pineapple? Here, take this. What was it? Pineapple? It's apple cider, but we'll cut you a little slack. What do you think's in this jar?
Water. Water.
It's not corn squeezins, I can tell you that. That's water. Jerry, you're banned from taste testing.
Tea.
Oh. Huh?
Tea.
Tea? I think we have another loser. Come out here, buddy. Tea, huh? Take this cup. Tell me what you think. Strawberry pop. You're right. Okay. You can just hold on to this illustration till we get done. But thinking about last week, we started the Sermon on the Mount, right? I got a button to push somewhere. Yeah. Started the Sermon on the Mount. The beginning section of the Sermon on the Mount, a lot of people call the Beatitudes, but I'm going to call it characteristics of kingdom people. And we saw that the first characteristic of kingdom people was what? Verse 3, that you empty yourself, right? So you guys all week have been emptying yourselves, right? You've been emptying. You've been getting rid of the self. You've been pouring that out, right? You spend all week doing that. First characteristic of kingdom people. Now, in regard to the characteristics of kingdom people, the first thing that Jesus wanted us to do was to empty ourselves out and to surrender our lives to the will of God. Today we're going to be in verses 4 through 12, and we're going to see a shift in what Jesus is talking about And Jesus is going to say, now, there's some things I want you to fill yourself up with, okay? So the first thing that Jesus says is he says, I want you to fill yourself up with a godly perspective. Now, I'm not good at multitasking, so. Oh, what did I call it? Eternal perspective. That's even better. To look at things in the way that God looks at them. So if you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Jesus puts it this way. He says, blessed are those that mourn. Now, it seems that there's several things that might be in consideration to what Jesus is saying here. First of all, though, if this is a parallel passage to Luke chapter 6, verse 25, it says there, woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. The woe is a warning to Christians to not to take your pleasures now in this life, but seek the pleasures that are to come in the heavenly kingdom. Don't try to fill your life full of your fancy wants and privileges here in this world, which is a temptation, I think, for all of us. Then there's also the idea that this mourning describes a heart sensitive to the condition of mankind without God. And I thought about that. I was asked this question in preaching school, and I still remember. I was asked if I'd ever wept for the lost. And at that point in time, I don't think I had. And that really touched my heart. So I'm asking you this morning, have you wept for the lost? Are you sensitive to the condition of the folks in this community that do not know the Lord? That are destined for hell without any help? We should be a church that's very sensitive to the lost. That's an eternal perspective. That's a godly perspective. Well, then mourning may also include a heart that is saddened by the impact of sin in our lives and in others' lives. When I look at my own life and I consider my own shortcomings, that makes me sad because I have failed completely to please God. Now, I can't ever be perfect, but I should still strive to be, to please God in all things. When I look at sin in my own life, it makes me sad. When I see sin in your life, it makes me sad also. Also, here may be the idea that our hearts are saddened knowing that we can't even fully understand all that God wants us to be. And acknowledgement that we constantly fall short in our lives. And a mourning heart, I think also, is a heart that is bent on heaven. I'd say it this way, a heart that's homesick for heaven, a mourning, a yearning to return to where our citizenship lies, as Paul says in Philippians 3 and verse 20. All these demand looking through God's eyes and not the fleshly eyes. Number two, God wants us to be full of gentleness. He wants to fill us with gentleness. Gentle is the word meek in the original language. It has to do with being mild in manner. It certainly includes the idea of humility, being soft and tender. Gentleness is not an attitude that's quick to judge at all. Gentleness does not take on a harsh tone. But gentleness understands the aim of James chapter 1, verse 19, that says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Gentleness is cool and even-headed in regard to spiritual matters. And true gentleness has a genuine quality about it. God also wants us to fill our lives with a passion for righteousness. A passion for righteousness. Verse 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." Here the spiritual are seen as a people who are starving, a people who are thirsting, a people who are parched for right standing with God. They know that there's only one thing that can fill them. Their need can only be filled by God. They're kind of like Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. He said, "I have a fire shut up in my bones and I can't help but to let it out." God's people are meant to be passionately seeking His righteousness. A type of character like this will cause a man to risk life and limb for that right standing. It is this type of character that understands the pleasure of God and seeks desperately to obtain it, to pour that out unto God. Then Jesus says that our lives are to be full or filled up with a merciful spirit. Blessed are the merciful, verse 7. Here I think of Jesus, who from the cross looked out at a crowd that had blood in their eyes. They wanted nothing more than Jesus to be shut up, to be put up, to be silenced, to be killed. And Jesus looked out at those people, and He asked the Father to forgive them, for they knew not what they do. They know not what they do. He did that because He saw potential in them. He could have called 10,000 angels, and He could have smoked every one of them and been justified and vindicated for doing it. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus extended to them His mercy because He didn't want any of them to perish, but all to come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. He gave His life in their place, 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Him who knew no sin to become sin on their behalf, that they might become the righteousness of God. He stood in our place. And Isaiah 53 and verse 12 says that He poured forth Himself unto death. He did that, not out of a judgmental heart, but out of a heart filled with mercy and care for other people. Are you seeing how these things, all these traits are building on each other? It's hard to have one without the other. You can't have any of them without emptying yourself first. Being merciful is a kingdom characteristic for sure. Because it's only when we move away from a justice system that we embrace a system of grace where God can truly touch the heart. Kingdom character is one that moves away from condemnation and understands the fact that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Then kingdom character means being filled with purity. Are we letting God fill us up this morning, church? Purity. Blessed are the pure in heart, verse 8. Purity here represents a heart specifically that is cleaned. Kingdom character includes the constant effort to clean one's life. Not ever settling for, "Hey, this is just the best I can do," or "This is just who I am. Take me or leave me, Lord." Not that type of attitude, but one that pushes forward toward maturity in Christ. A heart that is focused on God. A heart that struggles at all costs to do what's right. A heart that confesses its wrongs. A heart that's not upset when a brother and sister comes to them to talk about a spiritual matter, but a heart that welcomes any chance to get closer to God and to figure out more rightly the right thing to do in all regards. This type of heart considers every action and every thought before God. Then, Jesus says that we are to be full of, let God fill us with peace. I'm about out of water, so that means we're getting somewhere, right? To be filled with peace. Verse number 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers. The kingdom of God is meant to exist within the parameters of peace. Jesus himself is our peace. And with the Spirit of God working in us, peace is always our motive, and peace is always our direction. I mentioned this Sunday night about a month ago maybe or so. My sister was a peacemaker. She was a peacemaker, marked by the fullness of God through her making peace. She would not let anyone in the family rest until peace had been realized and accepted and moved upon. If I was mad at Mom and Dad, you can bet she'd come to me and talk to me. Then she'd go talk to Mom and Dad. She was like this ambassador of peace. Sometimes it was irritating because sometimes I just want to be mad. But she'd just go back and forth, and finally, you know, I've caught myself on occasion just, I give in because I'm tired of fussing with you, my sister. I'm going to be peace. This type of person, this type of attitude, an attitude that promotes peace, that's what Jesus wants us to be filled with. And finally, Jesus wants us, God wants us to be filled with sacrifice. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, the text says. The way of God is opposite from the way of this world. Here, kingdom character includes the willingness to die on the hill of God's will and not our own. You know, sometimes we can be pretty good about doing things that we're interested in. We like to die on the hill of our own will. But God says, I want you to be full of the desire to die on my hill, not your own. Willing to suffer for my name's sake. Ultimately, toward this end is the kingdom of heaven. Because God calls us to a life of service that's not one of fancy and glamour, but one of suffering, one of persecution, Paul tells Timothy. Jesus even takes this a step further and he says, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Verse 12 he says, but rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So all of these things, Jesus says, look, I want you to empty your life out, verse 3, but here's the things that I want you to fill your life with. I want you to fill your life with a godly perspective. I want you to fill your life with gentleness. Gentleness has great power, folks, for God's purposes. I want you to fill your life with a passion for righteousness. I want you to fill your life with a merciful attitude. I want you to fill your life with purity, with a desire for peace and for sacrifice. And to all those things, God says, oh, and here are your rewards. As far as looking at things in God's way, he says, for if you do this, you will be comforted. If you mourn, if you pour yourself out in that way, and you fill yourself up with this godly perspective, then you shall be comforted. God doesn't leave his people without comfort. But we must remember that we're talking about spiritual things and not physical things. God never promised that our lives would be rosy and peachy in all areas. Matter of fact, he kind of says just the opposite. But his comfort is there for us. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ." When we look at things in God's way, when we try to take on His eternal perspective, it's going to cause us grief in our heart because this world is full of sin. But take heed, Christians, when you fill your life with that type of mourning, with that type of eternal perspective, God will comfort you. Then kingdom character in reference to gentleness. The promise is that you shall inherit the earth. Now you might say, what do I want to do with the earth? The earth is going to be burned up with the roaring of elements, right? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. But here, the inheriting of the earth points to power. Some people have identified gentleness, the Greek word meek, as meaning power under control. When you talk about inheriting the earth, it points directly to the power of gentleness. How many of you have made great changes in your life when a Christian came to you and said, "You no good, sorry dude, you need to change, you scumbag"? That doesn't promote change, does it, too much? But if somebody, the Lord says, nope. But if I come to you and I say, "Man," I said, "our God's great, and He wants us to do the right things. And you know, I've even had some own problem in my life, but I'm sensing you're having a problem." That spirit of gentleness, that's the spirit that can move mountains, folks. Don't be mistaken. Gentleness, there's great power in gentleness. God wants us to be full of that. He wants us to be full of that to the extent that we realize our power in the kingdom of God. Then we mention the passion for righteousness. The promise that He attaches to a heart that's thirsty for God. A heart that's bent on getting closer to Him in every nook and cranny of our lives. A heart like that, He says, "For they shall be satisfied." They shall be satisfied. The worldly concept of satisfaction is kind of skewed. You know, we kind of think, or the world thinks that, you know, I'll be satisfied when I got the car paid off, or the house paid off, or you fill in the blank, but you know what happens. As soon as you get that done, something else comes up, right? They connect satisfaction with circumstance. And God wants us to connect satisfaction with a passion for God. With a passion for God. Then we mention merciful. Blessed are those who are merciful. The promise connected with that is, if you are merciful toward others, then you will receive mercy. None of us in here are perfect. That's a fact. So it just stands to reason, God telling us, fill your heart with mercy, and then that's what I'll give you. Fill your life with an attitude who reaches out to others, not trying to judge them, but trying to help them. The woman caught in adultery, the Pharisees, they were not trying to reach out to her and help her, were they? They were trying to condemn her. Matter of fact, they wanted Jesus to condemn her. And you know what? Jesus wasn't about condemnation. Jesus was a man, a son of God, of mercy. Are we quick to have that mercy inside of us? We should be. When we have our lives full of mercy, God will extend us the same thing that we're giving to others. And if you want to look at the end of the Lord's Prayer, which we'll be covering here in a few weeks, there's a little bit more to be said about that. Then, kingdom character in regards to having purity of heart. The promise is that they shall see God. Oh, something that's been longed for by people from Moses on. To see God. People with this mindset, a people that's desiring purity, a people that it's willing to clean the areas of their lives that give them problems, a people like that, they shall see God, he says. People with this mindset will actually get to see God, to see his face. In essence, I think the connotation is they will be welcomed in his presence. They will hear the words, "Enter in, my good and faithful servant." You're only going to hear a couple of statements, you know, when you get before God. Come on in, or adios, one of the two, you know. Go away, or come on in. Of course, we want to be welcomed in his presence. Blessed are the peacemakers. The promise that is attached to that is that they will be called the sons of God. Who else in all of Scripture is called a son of God? Who is the focus, the man talking, right? Jesus says, look, if you promote peace, you're standing by me because I am your peace. And if you promote that, you're promoting me and you can stand by me anytime. You will be called the sons of God. Do you understand, church, that you are children of God? That you are sons and daughters of the King because you live in the kingdom? And finally, kingdom character is marked by sacrifice with the promise that theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We begin with the promise of the kingdom. We end with the promise of the kingdom. And church, I want to tell you what. Being in the kingdom of God is the greatest thing that's ever happened to any of us. We got in the kingdom by Jesus, the one speaking to us. And he tells us, look, you got to fill your life up. You got to let God fill your life up with what he wants. Now see, here's the truth. We've got these jars, and they're full of cranberry juice. Jerry? Apple cider. Sharon? And who'd I pick over here, Joshua? Strawberry, right? Now here's the question. I'm going to close this sermon with this question. What's in your jar? What fills your jar right now? Have you let God fill your jar? Or is there still something that you need to empty out so that God can fill it? A man goes down to the gas station, he fills his tank with gas. He drives down the road one block and he pulls in, he says, "Fill her up, Sam." He puts in the gas nozzle, squeezes the handle, and what's it do? Click. I can't fill it up. Why? It's already full. If there's something you need to empty out of your life, now's the time to do it. The clock is ticking. In case you haven't noticed, life is not that long. The invitation is yours this morning as you embrace the kingdom characteristics laid out by Jesus as we stand and as we sing.